Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Welcome to Compass. It is great to see all of you here this morning. Yeah, all right. So, okay, today's going to be a little different. We're going to talk about something that is not a normal message what we would address here at Compass. Really what we're going to be talking about is something that is really important to who we are as a church, where we're going as a church, and really what God has in store for us. And so I want to start by talking to you guys a little bit about where we came from. So you may have been at Compass since we started, for several years. Some of you guys may have been at Compass only for the last year or maybe even less. And there may be some things about our church that you don't know. And so I want to share some of those things with you. You may not have known this, but Compass actually started in 2012 on Saturday nights. We started on Saturday nights because we decided, Terry and I moved to Bloomington Normal to plant a church. And we started with First Assembly. They said that they wanted to partner with us to do that. And so Terry and I came on staff doing youth ministry. And while we were doing youth ministry, we were also working to start Compass. And so we started Compass on Saturday nights so that we could kind of put together a core team of people who understood the vision of the church, understood what we were doing and where we wanted to go. And so Saturday nights were a little different. Some of you guys were here on Saturday nights, and you remember that, like, Saturday night, here's what would happen. We were so desperate to have people come that we would bribe people with food. So we had like little toasted pizza bagels that we had provided a lot. So that one night would be pizza bagel night. Maybe another night would be egg roll night or cupcake night. And we were just, anything we could do to bribe people to come on Saturday nights, we did. But we did that because we needed to build a core team of people who believed in the mission of the church and believed in what we were doing. And so that was really pretty effective for us. And so over the next, those several months, about a year and a half, we were able to build a core team of people who really were caught into the vision, what God wanted to do through Compass Church. And then we launched to Sundays on September 19th of 2013, which was a good thing because I can tell you, when we were on Saturday nights, Terry and I were still on staff at First Assembly. And so I would be at three services on Sunday morning. I did youth ministry on Wednesday nights. I did anything else that needed to happen throughout the week. And then we did Compass on Saturday night. And then I'd get back up Sunday morning and do three services. And it was fun. It was fun. So then we launched in 2013 in the movie theater, and God just did amazing things. But you also may not have known this, that when we started, we were not fully independent as a church. In our denomination, we're affiliated with the Assemblies of God. When a new church starts, they start one of two ways. They either start within the denomination district, and they are the governing body. They are kind of responsible for the church plant as they grow up until they can be independent. Or the other way is that another church takes responsibility for the new church plant, kind of a parent church scenario, and they are responsible for the church plant as that church grows. And up until now, Compass has been a daughter church to First Assembly here in Normal. And so we have not been an independent, autonomous church. So what that means is this, is that First Assembly has been our governing body. We have functioned in making decisions as far as ministry goes, but ultimately, at the end of the day, they have had responsibility for us. It also means this, that for much of our history, there have been times where we have not been able to financially take care of all of our bills. So just for perspective, in 2012, when we started the Saturday nights, I mean, we were essentially a youth group of First Assembly. You know what I mean? We were a ministry of First Assembly. We met there. That was what it was. When we launched as a church in 2013, First Assembly, in that first year, First Assembly footed the bill for us to the tune of $50,000 to cover our budget, which is a lot. But here's what's amazing. You also don't know this. 2013, they paid $50,000 to support our ministries. 2014, First Assembly paid $25,000 to support our ministries. We were able to cut that in half. 2015, last year, we ended the year with $500 in the bank account. Yeah, so. Yeah. And so we all went to Dairy Queen and we got ice cream. So 2015 was a huge year for us because what it did is it signaled that we as a church have built up a body of people who are at our core, who believe in the mission of what we're doing, who are obedient to the commands of Scripture to be generous and to live open-handed enough, that all of our ministries are now supported by the people who are part of Compass. Now, this was a big step for us because the one thing that was keeping us from becoming an independent church that is totally autonomous and self-sustaining on our own was our ability to be financially self-sustaining. And so 2015 was a milestone for us. And what that's done is that where we are right now is it's put us in a position where we are starting to get the ball rolling on the things that are going to make us be a church that is all our own. A church with our own governing board. A church with our own leadership that makes decisions. A church where we have membership that is key to pushing forward in the vision that God has for us as a church. This is going to be a huge year for us as we step out into autonomy. But stepping out into autonomy means some things. It means this, is that there's no more safety net. And so a lot of churches in our situation, and again, this is how church plants do it. Church plants typically start with a governing body, and then they're released once they're healthy. Now, we are at that point of total health. And I think a lot of churches in our position would do this, right? We've done all the work over the last, 4 years to get to the point where we're at. And it's just been hard, and we've pushed, and we've fought. And now that we're here, we're going to become autonomous. And here's the thing, where we are, right? We have a federal tax ID number now. We are incorporated with the state of Illinois. The state of Illinois recognizes Compass Church as a thing. When we got incorporated, I got an embosser in the mail. It's like a seal that I can like stamp paper. So you got paper you want stamped? I'll stamp it with Compass's embosser. I mean, we are a legit real deal now. And a lot of churches in our situation would do this. We've done all the hard work. Now that we're here, let's just stop. Let's take a deep breath and like let's take that step over into independence, that step over into autonomy, and then let's just survey the land and let's just kind of rest because we made it. And so what they'll do is it'll be kind of like a trust fall, right? It's like we made it this far, and it's like now, Lord, I'm just gonna fall back the 3 or 4 feet into your arms, and you're just gonna catch us, and it's gonna be a nice, easy landing. But that's not how Compass does things. And so I don't want to do a trust fall. I want to do more like a trust base jump off the Empire State Building, okay? I want us as a church to keep pushing forward as hard as we have in order to get to the point where we are independent and autonomous, where we are just literally running to the edge of a cliff and we're just falling. And God's going to catch us when he catches us. I don't feel him like a foot behind me ready to catch me. I want to jump off the cliff as a church so that we can pursue the vision and the mission that God has for us so freely that we are just falling and falling and falling. And when he catches us, but we trust him to do that. That's the impact that I want to make in our first year of autonomy. I want our first year of autonomy to be our most impactful, our biggest, and our most powerful year as a church yet. I almost said most powerful year as a church ever, but I would like our second year to be that, and then our third year, and then our fourth year to be that as well. So here's what I want. I want us busting into the world of independence. I don't want us to knock on the door and open it and go, hey guys, here we are, Compass Church, we're real. I want to be like the Kool-Aid man busting down a wall and be like, oh yeah! I want to slosh out on people. That's what I want to do. So here's the thing. Knowing that this has been coming, we've known that autonomy has been something that's been on the horizon for us for a long time. This was an ultimate goal for us from the moment we started meeting on Saturday nights. We knew that being a church that is autonomous and that is healthy can make a huge impact in our community. It was always where we wanted to be. And so knowing it was coming, our leadership team has spent a lot of time talking and praying and thinking about what are the next steps for us? What do we want to do when this comes, when this moment hits, and how do we want to kind of capture this momentum? Because we believe this at Compass. We believe that the future is always better than the past and the present when you're following Jesus. Always. And so we don't want to look back at the past, at the good old days, and we don't want to linger in the present. We always want to be pushing ahead to what God has for us and following Jesus' heels as closely as we possibly can. And so we've been talking and praying and asking the question, in our first year of autonomy, what would God have us do? What would God have us do as a church that is where there's no safety net, the strings are cut, and we are on our own? What is that thing that God wants us to accomplish? And after praying and talking about it a lot, I feel like God has kind of spoken to us and he's given us some direction. And so in 2016, this is what we're going to do. This is the way that we are going to jump off the cliff as an autonomous church. In 2016, we are going to pursue the vision that God has laid out for our church with abandon. We are going to chase after the mission and make the first year of our fully functioning autonomy, we're going to make it the biggest year of accomplishing the vision that God has laid out for us ever. And we talked about this last week. We talked about how our vision, our heartbeat, the thing that just burns in us is that we as a church want to make God accessible to everyone. That's what we're all about. That's why we do services. That's why we do service projects. It's why we work with foster care and have kids programs and youth programs and worship on Sunday, is because we want to make God accessible to everyone that we possibly can. That's our vision. It's our mission. It's everything that we are about. And in our first year of autonomy, we want to make it the biggest year ever of doing just that. And so what we've done is we've put together a plan to make 2016 the best year that we possibly can in order to make God accessible to everyone. And so I'm going to show you some of the details of the plan right now.
Compass Church can connect everyone in our city to God. I know it sounds crazy, but isn't it about time we start thinking ridiculously big, that we shake things up and see impossible dreams come true? Aren't you ready to do something radical and get in on the transformational work that God has planned for our town? Today, right here and now. Access 100 is a campaign inviting us to partner with God to see this one crazy vision lived out, making God accessible to everyone.
So about 15 years ago, Terry and I moved to Evansville, Indiana, and we didn't really know a soul, and we were looking for a church where we could connect. And so we did the whole route of checking out different churches, and we looked at churches that were from our denomination that we'd grown up with. We looked at churches that weren't. I mean, we visited everything that we could possibly find. Walking into the doors of a new church was the most awkward and uncomfortable and strange feeling that I think we'd ever had. I think that experience for us helped us to realize what it must be like for someone who has never been in a church before. That really shaped our vision for what we wanted to be when we felt like God was leading us to plant a new church. And so recognizing that we want to be a place where unchurched people can come to relationship with God in a powerful way, we wanted to remove every hurdle that they would possibly face so that when they're confronted with the reality of who God is and what his love for them is really like, there's nothing else that would keep them from wrestling with that truth. And so we decided that when God gave us the burden to plant Compass and to start this new church, that we wanted to make our sole focus about giving people who either didn't have access or who don't feel like they have access to God or to church, to giving them that access to him. And so that's kind of the birth and the heart of what our vision is all about, making God accessible to everyone.
You may be asking yourself, why think so big? Isn't it good enough that we have several hundred people in our church and that we continue to maintain what we've been doing so far? But did you know that 51% of McLean County has no religious affiliation? That's over half of our city. Not to mention that the remaining 49% may have a religious affiliation, but not necessarily have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's a lot of people right here in our town that are living without the hope of God. It's time to get to work.
So 2010, we moved here and we approached the pastor at First Assembly of God where we had grown up. We came to him and said, God's put on our heart to plant a church here in Bloomington Normal, but we need a church to attend until we're ready to do that. They needed a youth pastor. And so they asked us, would you come and would you be our youth pastors for 18 months and then we would plant a church. We were there for a couple years and it was finally time where we were able to start a core team. It was very small, but we got our core leadership out of those meetings and out of that time. And it was just, it was wonderful to see what God did as he brought all of us in on the vision of we've got to get out there and we've got to let people know who are far from God that he loves them.
Access 100 is how we're going to see this vision lived out. Access because we're committed to making God accessible to everyone in our city. 100 because the goal is to raise $100,000 to kickstart this crazy big vision. $100,000 is going to provide access to God in four very practical ways. Number one, we want 100 new kids at Summer Blast. This August, Compass is going to put on our very first VBS-style event called Summer Blast. It's going to be a wild week of games, snacks, worship, funny skits, and ultimately a really cool way to reach out to kids in our community so they can learn about the love of Jesus. Number two, we want 100 new members within Compass. Membership is not just belonging to a church community, but owning it. It's the process of growing stronger in our faith while making a commitment to the vision of our church and to each other. Churches that have members who have bought into the mission of their church have greater influence in their cities and are better at teaching people how to become fully formed followers of Jesus. Membership is about discipleship, going and making new disciples and teaching them how to follow Jesus. Number three, Compass needs 100% financial sustainability. As a New Start church, we've relied in part on the help of our parent church to get us to where we are today. As we embark upon this journey of becoming a church with our own unique fingerprint that is having a greater impact in this community, it's crucial that we're able to pay 100% of our own bills and be able to fund future ministry that God is calling us to. On average, new churches that are able to pay pastoral staff typically grow to twice the size of those who can't. 100% financial sustainability also means that we begin saving a down payment to purchase a permanent building that Compass will, no doubt, use as a high traffic headquarters for making God accessible to our city. Number four, we want 100 days of doing SOAP devotions. SOAP stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. It's our way of being more intentional and structured in our Bible study. We believe that God's Word is transformational and foundational to not only our lives, but the carrying out of our vision at Compass. We're challenging everyone to commit to 100 days of SOAP. This is just another way for each of us individually to gain access to God through the reading of His Word.
So I know it sounds a little crazy for a church our size and our age to raise $100,000, but it wouldn't be Compass if what we were doing wasn't a little crazy. And so I know that this is going to require from us some planning. And so I would like for us as a church to begin prayerfully considering and asking God what it is that He would have us do. We need to start having conversations, husband and wives, maybe even talking to our kids about how we can involve them, about what we may want to give in order to see this $100,000 goal reached and accomplished. And you may decide to do a one-time gift. You may decide to give monthly or weekly. You may decide to give us your entire tax return. But whatever it is, I know this, that it's going to require faith from us as a church. Terry and I have talked about our pledge, and what we're going to do is going to require faith from us and from our family and from our kids. But I know this, I know that if we do this, I know that if we're obedient to God and what He's asking us to do as a church, that crazy gift that we give will result in a crazy response in our community. And we're going to see crazy changes happening in the lives of people in Bloomington Normal. We're going to see crazy life transformation that nobody could ever reasonably expect. Because in our obedience, in our faith, we activated the power of God in our church and in our community. That video explains what we're all about and what we're doing in Access 100. And so for us as a church, as we grow up and we get out of our parents' house, you know, we're not content just to like move into the garage, you know, outside. We're going to get our own place. That's what this is all about. So Access 100 is our way of doing that. So what I want to do is I want to walk through some of the campaign details, and I want to share some interesting numbers and statistics with you that speak to our heart for why we landed on our goals the way that we did. And so there's really, you know, five main goals that we're reaching for with Access 100. And they're just ways, these 100 ways that we are going to reach people. And the first one is this, is we want to have 100 new kids at our Summer Blast VBS. Now, we've never done a Summer VBS style event before. This is the first time we're going to be able to do it. Again, it's always been something that we wanted to do. And Stacy's really passionate about making this a huge event. And here's the thing, if we're going to do it, let's do it right. Let's go all in. And let me talk to you about why investing in kids is so important, particularly in our Summer Blast event, which is kind of an outreach. I don't know if you knew this, 85% of people who follow Jesus, they make the decision to do it before the age of 18. 85% of the people who you know who are Christians made that decision before they were adults. Check this out. Most people have fully formed their main ideas of what God is like before the age of 13. That means this, before a kid even crosses the threshold into high school, for many of them, before they even finish junior high, most of them have formed their idea of who God is and what God is like, and the majority of their beliefs about Him have already been shaped. I mean, just think about that statistic and what that says about the importance of our ability to minister to kids in our church. What does that say about the importance of our nursery and preschool program in setting up our kids for the elementary school program, which takes on a whole new world of importance when you think about the fact that fourth and fifth graders are about to make their decision about what they believe about God. And here's another statistic that speaks to why this is so important for us. 80% of kids between age 4 and 14 never go to church in the United States. 80%. And that means this: 37,587 kids in McLean County never go to church. 38,000 kids in our county never set their foot through the doors of a church building. They have no access to God. And unless someone creates that access point for them, they never will. And so for us, in doing our Summer Blast, our VBS program, we want to create an access point for these kids. And we want 100 new kids, 100 kids who've never been to Compass before a day in their lives, to be here for that Summer Blast so that we can make God accessible to those kids. It's such an important age, and we want to get them while we can. Our second goal is this. We want to have 100 new members at Compass. So again, as a new church, we have no official members. I mean, we have people who come to Compass. Compass is their church. But we don't have an official membership. And so we want to have 100 new members at church. But here's the thing. This is more than just a legal requirement of the state for us to be an incorporated nonprofit organization. There's important reasons why membership matters. First one is this. Churches with new member classes reach more people. Just a fact, a statistic. Churches that hold new member classes, that bring people in and make them owners instead of just guests, that bring people in and transition from someone who's just enjoying to someone who's investing, they reach more people with the gospel. They reach more people. They make God more accessible. Churches that have new members and new membership classes have 46% higher attendance. So churches that invest in membership, that invest in connecting someone at a deeper level of involvement and ownership and partnership with what we're doing, those churches have a way higher ability to connect people to God. And here's the thing. I want you to know this. When I talk about membership, this is so important. My goal is everyone in this room, that you become members at Compass. But I want you to know this. When we talk about membership, we're not talking about rights and privileges. Okay, we're not talking about you get a key to the spa, you know, and you can come in whenever you want, and you get to vote on everything that we do and say your piece. We're not talking about rights and privileges. What we're talking about is the fact that you are a member of this body. It means that you, the way God created you, and when God brought you into this church, the way that you're designed to function within it, you are a member of this body. You are a hand. You're an eye, you're an ear, you're a leg. And without you, the church can't function the way it was intended to. It's like it's a body without a leg, a body without a hand. And so when we're talking about church membership, we're talking about plugging people in and equipping them to fulfill the function that God created and designed them for. And man, can I tell you, when you are plugged in to that purpose, you're going to live the best life that you could possibly live. It's inevitable. So we want 100 new kids at our Summer Blast VBS. We want 100 new members at Compass. Our third goal is we want 100% financial self-sustainability. We talked about this a little up front. This is so important for us as a church that we are able to continue to pay for the ministries that God has called us to live out and to provide both to people in our church and to people in our community. Some statistics on this. Churches that can pay full-time staff are 2 times the size of those that can't and grow twice as fast in a quicker amount of period than those that can't. Churches that can pay a staff member grow faster and effectively reach more people than those who don't. Churches that are 100% financially self-sustainable, and this is what I want for us to be. If when we're 100% financially self-sustaining, it allows us the ability to start looking ahead and the ability to start thinking about the future. Specifically, we can start saving a down payment for a building. Now, we are here in our ministry center right now. And you guys have seen this. You've experienced it. How many of you guys were at our family prom? Yeah, that was a blast. And that was our coronation, really, for the space. It was the first thing that we had in here. And if you were there, you know how awesome it was to have this place packed out with over 100 people from Compass just partying and enjoying what God gave us in this space. And you know the ability for us to connect people to Him here. How much more could we do if we had a space 3, 4, 5 times this? A launching pad for us to do ministry in our community and connect people to God. It would be amazing. So 100% financial self-sustainability gives us that ability. It also gives us more ability to reach more people. It gives us the ability to invest more in outreach. It gives us the ability to invest in things like Summer Blast. You know, a couple of years ago, we did a Blues Festival as an outreach, and we spent like $3,000 on this event, and it was great. It was awesome. You see it in our videos all the time. We were able to connect a lot of people. We have new people who are part of our church because of that event. We couldn't do that in 2015 because we couldn't afford it. And God forbid that we can't do the things that He's called us to do because we can't afford it. Because here's the thing, it doesn't mean that God doesn't have the resources. It means this. It means the people He gave the resources to haven't given it to Him to use. And so our 100% financial self-sustainability allows us to begin thinking about way bigger outreach. And it also begins to allow us thinking about what is the next step for Compass? What's next for us? I can tell you something that's on my heart. I believe that God would have us plant another church within our first 5 years of existence. I believe that before we are 6 years old, that God would have us invest in planting a new church. Now, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if that means we just financially support a church. I don't know if that means that we literally just buy equipment and send somebody out. I don't know if that means that we raise up someone here and just say, okay, go over here. I don't know. And I don't know if it's in Bloomington. I don't know if it's in Hayworth. It could be in, you know, the Philippines. I don't know. But I know that this is something God has for us. And being financially healthy allows us to begin thinking about big, crazy things that God would have us do. And then our final goal is 100 days of soap, 100 days of soap devotions. Some reasons why this is important. Reading and reflecting on Scripture has a bigger impact on your spiritual growth than anything else. There's nothing else that you can do to grow in your relationship with God that has more effectiveness and more power than reading and reflecting on Scripture. Not attending services, not, you know, serving in your community, not feeding homeless in a soup kitchen. All of those things matter and they are important. But nothing will grow you spiritually more than reading and reflecting on Scripture. And we want our church to be a church that's growing and spiritually healthy. But knowing that, know this, only 19% of church attenders read their Bible daily. Only 19% of people who attend church daily open up the Bible and read it. 18% of church attenders say that they rarely or never read the Bible. Almost 20% of people who go to church say they rarely or never crack open their Bible. And that means this, that an overwhelming majority of people who attend church do not have a regular habit of engaging with God's word. An overwhelming majority of people who confess and admit that they are church attenders don't have a habit of reading the Bible and connecting with it. And so for us, man, if there's one thing that we did, if there's one thing that we did as a church to make God accessible to our community and one thing only, I would say it's this. It's connecting with God and growing in Him. Because when we do that, all of these other things are going to follow. So this is very important. So what we're going to do is we're going to provide a little devotional. And it's going to have 100 scripture references. And we as a church are just asking everyone to do 100 days of soap. Do it with your kids. Do it with your spouse. Do it with your neighbor. Do it with your dog. You know, pull your dog on your lap. Read him the Bible. So ultimately, though, the big picture goal for us is to raise $100,000 to make all of these things possible and to get us to the point where we can continue moving forward. Our goal is to raise $100,000. And what's interesting about our campaign is this. This is different than a capital funds campaign that most churches do. Now, you may have been in a church that's done one of these before. Usually it's about something tangible, a building, a vehicle, something that they want to purchase and get. But that's not really what we're doing. We're not doing a capital campaign to buy something physical. We're doing a campaign to fund a mission. We're doing a campaign to fund the vision that God has placed for us. I don't want to do a campaign just to build a brick and mortar building or to buy a bus. I want to do Access 100. I want to do this campaign right because I want to fund a movement in our community, a movement of people who are reproducing disciples, who are connecting people to God, who are access points for Him and connecting people in our community who need Jesus in powerful ways. And so what are some of the things that we're going to do with this $100,000 in addition to the things we've already talked about? Because there's some other things that we really want to have happen. And these are things that we want to do in order to fund this mission, to make this vision happen. So this is interesting. Last year, we started supporting missions last year in a systematic, official way. We've always supported missionaries, but it's been very ad hoc. It's been, we have a missionary come, what do you need? We'll give you some of that. Last year, we started our first system where people make a faith promise, a pledge, and they give to missions, and we support missionaries on an ongoing basis. And last year, we supported foreign missions to the tune of about $5,300. Now, overall missions, if you include our one-time gifts, we did one day to feed the world. We did some other gifts, things like that, where people just gave one time. Our total missions giving, including those one-time things, which is both global and local, was to the tune of about $8,000 total. And praying and thinking about where we are as a church and what God would have us do, and God's heart to reach people and to make him accessible to people, not just in our community, but overseas, in other states, in other countries, we were asking God, what would you have us do? What would your plan for this be? And I felt like God told me that he would have us as a church live the way that we ask our people to live individually with their finances. And so God basically asked us to take our annual budget and ensure that we tithe off of our annual budget to support missions. So as a minimum as a church, we are going to give 10% of our annual budget. Our annual budget is a little over $200,000. And so this year, what Access 100 is going to allow us to do is to give $24,000 to support missions around the world this year. Now that $24,000, it's going to go all over the place. This is a 3 times jump over what we did last year. But I know this, when we are faithful to live open-handed, God's going to bless it. He's going to bless our church. In the same way that God blesses me when I live open-handed as an individual, when we corporately as a church live open-handed, I know this, God's going to do amazing things in our church. We want to outfit this ministry center with some of this money. I mean, you see it, we got great gray walls and we got a stage and some lights, but there's a lot more that we need. We got to finish walls. We need furniture. We need to do a lot of things to make this place the best access point that it can possibly be to make God accessible to people. If this is going to be the space where we disciple and we use it as a base of operations to send people into our community, we need to make sure that it has everything that we need to do that. And we really are just getting started on outfitting this space in the best way that we possibly can. Again, we want to begin saving for a church building, which would create a bigger access point than this. One of the things that's really important to me, I want to bring some more staff on full time. Right now, I'm the only full-time staff member at Compass. And if I told you what we paid our part-time staff members, you'd be embarrassed. Okay. Cause here's the thing. Let's say Kevin, our worship pastor, if he got hit by a bus tomorrow and we had to go interview new worship pastors and bring them in and try to plug them in to do worship ministry and youth ministry, like Kevin and Jane do. And I told them what we paid Kevin and what we were going to pay them. They would laugh in my face and they would immediately even go somewhere else. Nobody in their right mind would do the ministry work that our part-time staff does for what we paid them. Nobody would do it. In fact, Our payroll budget for what we pay our staff, our part-time staff, is less than 1% of our total budget. And I want to change that because we talked about it before. Churches that can pay a full-time staff, they grow. And they grow because this. They grow because there's someone investing in kids and teenagers full-time. They're not working their 40-hour job and then giving what they have left to see our kids who need to make a decision to follow Jesus before they're 18, or we're going to lose 85% of them. You know, they're going to walk away from Jesus. We're going to lose them. I want someone who's on staff full time who's always thinking about how do we make sure that we don't lose a generation of our kids and we keep them connected and following Jesus. And then finally, I want to begin thinking about where we plant a new church and how we do it. And this $100,000 gives us the ability to start thinking ahead about what God would have us do. So let me wrap up with this. I've kind of given you a global big picture view of Access 100 and kind of the big picture of what we want to see happen. Let me kind of break it down into a micro level. Last week we showed a video from Tammy Mance. And if you haven't seen it and you haven't heard her story, it's pretty amazing. Tammy was a single mom from Chicago. She moved down here to Bloomington with her kids. She didn't know a soul. She didn't have a church. She wasn't connected to anyone in a community. She wasn't connected to God in any way. And Tammy Mance met us at the Blues Festival outreach that we did. There's the thing. At our Blues Festival outreach, it was just all about church being fun and church being a place full of joy and life. And so Tammy walked by our stage at the Blues Festival when we were doing the cha-cha slide or something, and there's just a bunch of people dancing in the street just being stupid, being idiots like we do, you know? And Tammy just jumped, this crazy woman, you know, this crazy woman just jumps in and starts dancing with us. And we're like, this woman's nuts. I don't know who she is, but, you know, dance away, girl. It was great. And she's just partying, having fun. And so we invited her to come to Compass. She came that Sunday. She came the next Sunday. She came the Sunday after that. And here's the thing. Tammy, as a result of that outreach, has become plugged into our church. Tammy, as a result of that outreach, has kids who are plugged into our youth ministry, and they're learning about God and they're growing in their faith. And know this, Tammy's connected to God because someone like you gave. Someone like you gave money to support an outreach so that Tammy Mance could dance in the street with us and then come and get connected in relationship to God. Tammy has relationships with her small group and people in our church because someone like you gave. Tammy's kids are learning about Jesus and growing in their faith and love connecting at Compass because someone like you said, I'm willing to give to make this happen, to give someone access to God. And Tammy's kids are no longer, they're not going to be a statistic of a generation of kids who are lost to faith because somebody gave. And the most amazing part of Tammy's story is that because people gave and connected her, now Tammy is someone who gives so that she can reach the next person. And that's what we want. We want that multiplication. We want to see people who are connected to God and who then are connecting other people to God, who then are connecting other people to God. And the cycle of connecting people to God just continues on and on and on. And every time we become an access point to God, to someone else, they then become an access point to God to someone else. And the cycle just repeats and continues over and over and over again. That's what we're starting. That's what we're raising money for. That's what we're doing as a church. What I would ask is that you be a part of it. So I ask you to talk to your spouse, talk to your kids, pray about it. You should do a couple things. Ask God what he would have you give. And then add a zero to it. Ask God what he would have you give. And listen to him to stretch you. Talk to your family about what you're going to do and begin thinking about what it is that you can do to begin funding the mission and the vision of our church. And I promise you this, when you're obedient in this way, when you're obedient to plant this seed, a tree will grow. It's going to happen because things that are alive grow. The kingdom of God was designed to grow. And that's what this is. We're planting a seed, creating an access point, seeing it grow and become more and more and more. Heavenly Father, thank you for our church and thank you for what you're doing in us. And Lord, I just ask and pray that you would stretch us and challenge us. And Lord, that you would give us faith to hear what you're speaking into us about how we can support this vision to make you accessible to everyone in our community. God, we don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know how you want to do it, Jesus, but we know this. We want to be a part. And so we open our hands to you and we say, God, take whatever you want so that we can see your vision accomplished, so we can see your mission reached, and we can see people connected to you in powerful ways. And we surrender and submit ourselves to you, and we pray that you'd help us to live in faith and in obedience. And God, I pray that rather than be filled with fear at thinking about what you're asking us to give, I pray that we would be filled with excitement, with courage, with boldness, and with faith. And Lord, even though what you tell us to give might be crazy and insane, well, that's just the life of following you sometimes, Jesus. And we're ready to not just make a little trust fall. We're ready to make a huge trust jump into your arms. We love you, Lord. We pray it all in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.